Hello and welcome to another episode of the Scarlet Nation podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. I'm Chris Akonis, joined by Bobby Darin. We've got a lot of basketball news to get to, and the transfer portal now 3 days into it, and a lot of changes coming in Rutgers' roster. The biggest news coming today, center Cliff Amori, forward Mawat Mag, both announcing, or should I say, we were able to learn that they are planning to enter the transfer portal and look elsewhere for their final year of eligibility. So that leaves Rutgers short two starters from last year's team in Amori and Mag, two big spots opening in the starting lineup for Rutgers to have to fill through the transfer portal. And a lot of intrigue as we head into this next stage of Rutgers' off season. Bobby, just to start things off, you know, you wrote a little bit about, you know, the impact of both of Amori and Mag's departures. Just, you know, what does this mean for Rutgers? Where does Rutgers stand now after these two guys are both, testing the waters in the portal?
Well, it's free agency time for Rutgers. And, you know, Amori is actually in now. Mawat was just getting ready to file the paperwork today. But both have plans to play elsewhere. And I don't think it comes as much of a surprise, Chris. But moving forward, you have to get a center. I don't know that you can rely on a Lathan Somerville coming in as a true freshman to hold things down. Although I do like his game, and I think a lot of people are underestimating what he can do in his first year at the college level. But that being said, you know, you have Cliff Amori, who's been a dominant defensive guy, not a, you know, traditional dominant guy, just such a freak athletically that he's able to do things that normal centers can't do. And it's a big loss. He was an energy guy. He was a fan favorite, did some extraordinary things. And I really think you saw a drop in his production this year, Chris, because there was poor guard play. And, you know, he's not a guy that has a really wide array of offensive skills. So he's going to benefit from those lobs, from those pick and rolls, and throw down those dunks that are kind of set up by other players. And you didn't have a Cam Spencer or Paul Mulcahy this year. So it was tougher for him to get those looks down by the basket, those, you know, rim rocking dunks, and, you know, ones that really played a part in igniting the crowd too. But I think next year he would have had that. I mean, if you bring in Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, and then you have Jeremiah Williams running the point, it's going to be a free-for-all sometimes down there for him, because those guys are going to draw defenders to them, and he would have had some easy dunks. But, it basically comes down where he's going to get the most money. I think that Cliff is a guy who knows he's not going to make the NBA. He went through the process, and look, everybody thinks they're probably better than they are, but the writing is kind of on the wall. This kid's future is not going to be in the NBA. So why not go out and make the most money possible? Chris, I've heard center is a good center on the open market, you know, can demand $1 million in NIL money. So Rutgers isn't there with those other programs that have that kind of coin to throw around. So he's looking for a payday, and he's probably going to get it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of schools that are really looking, you know, closely at him, and they're going to place a high value on him. And before we went on this, you mentioned that a Kansas could use him and wouldn't need him to be a guy other than a rim protector and defensive presence.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that number you brought up, Bobby, I think that really is important to keep in mind for two reasons. One, you know, I think Cliff Amori, if there's a center that's going to command really, you know, high-end money, NIL money in the transfer portal, it's probably going to be Cliff Amori. I mean, he's as good of a rim protector as you can probably get. I mean, more guys will probably enter in the coming days. I don't know if any of them will have the defensive profile or the athletic profile of Cliff Amori. So I think that's something to keep in mind as well. It's also important to keep in mind, too, for – you know, when you're talking about who Rutgers can get, there are centers in the portal that, you know, I'm sure Rutgers is going to reach out to if they haven't already. And, you know, you're going to see Rutgers sort of make a push. But replacing Cliff Amori, you know, in any way you cut it, is going to cost money. And Rutgers is going to have to find a way to get the NIL in place to get, you know, a good replacement. Those high-end guys are going to command a lot of money, as you mentioned. That's not going to be easy, because you also keep in mind, you also have to get another starting forward to replace Mawat Mag. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting situation. And that's going to be one of the key questions of the offseason, I think, is how does Rutgers balance that?
Yeah, and, you know, and with Cliff, I mean, you look at it initially, you won't get a guy with that freakish athleticism. I mean, there's not many guys like that. I mean, just his sheer explosiveness. But there were times this season when you watched him play, and you look at his stat line, 4 6 points, a handful of rebounds against teams that don't have that center that's, you know, dominant or that physical presence. I mean, so you kind of scratch your head and say, what was going on out there? And you know, you kind of alluded to it before we got on this, that said, you know, they asked him to do too much for Rutgers this season. I mean, he needs to be in a place where he has a singular role. I think that could have been at Rutgers next year, but, you know, money talks, Chris.
Yeah, money talks. And I think, look, I mean, I was on the court when he was walking out for senior day. I saw the emotions there. I saw how much, you know, he really, really displayed his passion for Rutgers and for this program. So I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think, like you said, Bobby, it just comes down to, you know, NIL. He's going to be a very valuable commodity on the transfer market. And I think that is, you know, going to be something that he's going to be able to benefit from. And you know, I'm very interested to see which schools really make a push for him and where he ultimately ends up. Because I think if he goes to a high-end program, like, you know, I think he would be a good fit at. You know, I think the potential is there for him to really have a breakout year. And one more thing I'll say to your point, Bobby, you know, I think that backcourt of Dylan Harper and Jeremiah Williams would have done a much better job setting him up. I think we could have seen him have his most effective year with the Scarlet Knights.
Yeah, and you also have to remember in these situations too, and I've been doing this a long time, a lot of these decisions, they're still young men. Some of them, I still call them kids. A lot of decisions are based on the people that are in their ear, you know, people in their corner, and you have a lot of people feeding them information. It isn't always the best information. You know, a guy like Mawat Magg, I don't think he's going to get what he thinks he will on the open market. Here's a guy who's had injury issues every year of his career. You know, when he came into Rutgers, he had an issue with his teeth. You know, he got his teeth knocked out playing and had missed games because of that. Then he had an ankle issue. Then he had the ACL. Now he has the calf that he ended the year with. There's speculation whether he was healthy enough to play. I've heard both sides of that end. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks with him. And you look at his stat lines and are not overwhelming. I think opposing coaches who faced him can see the value in him, but he's a risk. So, he has people telling him, you know, you're going to go here, you're going to go there, you're going to make this, and I don't think the grass is going to be as green on the other side for him, but I think Rutgers can find an adequate replacement. He's not a guy that's going to light up the scoreboard with points. He was a hustle guy. He was a good defender. You know, Pike likes those defenders, but are you going to get a healthy guy that's going to be in there night in and night out? Is he going to be that same guy before the ACL? We don't know that yet. So his departure, you know, you kind of shake your head and say, well, it could have been, but even if he stayed, you don't know if he would have been as effective as he once was.
Right. And I think, you know, even if he was as effective, I mean, he could still be. He could, you know, really come back and bounce back here wherever he lands. Right. But I think, you know, there's two factors. One, would he be the same player, which, you know, could still be. A lot of players look better second year after a torn ACL than the first year. Too soon to really say on that. But also, even if he is, you know, he could be having a great year and then, say, 20 games in, you know, there's an issue. And that's not, you know, his fault. It's just, you know, the nature of health and injuries in basketball. So, you know, I think that is going to be someone to watch. I do think he can play a role somewhere. I don't know if, you know, the question comes down to, you know, whether he goes to a higher level program, but takes less minutes in exchange, or does he, you know, I think that's an interesting question. I'm curious to see which schools reach out to him. I do agree that I think his draft is draft stock, his NIL stock, maybe isn't what it would have been, you know, before, these latest injury issues, popped up. But you know, I agree. I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And, you know, looking at the transfer portal, it's going to be very hard to get a rim protector near, Cliff Amore's caliber. I'm a bit more bullish on Rutgers' chances of getting a good defensive forward that can really sort of plug those holes and defend. I think that there is a possibility of that. I'll also say that I think in the long run, I think someone like a Bryce Dorch could really step into that role, but I don't think you're going to see him play very much in his first year. And I think that, you know, for Rutgers, that's why it's so important to go out and get, you know, a veteran center who you can feel comfortable starting, and also a veteran forward who, you know, you don't necessarily have to get a guy who can, you're going to rely on to score 10, 15 points a night because you've got Ace Bailey, you've got Dylan Harper, you've got Jeremiah Williams, you've got some guys that can score the basketball. But that defensive presence, especially on the interior, I think is going to be very, very important to replace. And I'm very interested to see how Rutgers attacks these next couple of weeks.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, and it, when the transfer portal first opens up, you see all these offensive-minded guys. You see, you know, you were putting together a list of guys, and, you know, we were going through them, and, well, I don't think Rutgers can afford this guy. You know, these guys that are scoring 16, 17 points a game, even coming from lower levels, they're going to want a chance to score the basketball. Rutgers does not necessarily need a forward or even a center, for that matter, who's a huge scorer. I mean, somebody who can maybe knock down some shots here and there, but you're going to have scorers in those players you mentioned in Harper, Bailey, Williams, and hopefully Gavin Griffin can get it together, come off the bench and drop some points, or even slide into a starting role. Who knows what it'll look like now, because we really don't know. But, you know, it's not – I don't think you're going to see a huge emphasis now on finding that big score. And now that Cliff and Mawat are in the portal, you know, Steve Peichel can go out and sell these guys starters minutes playing with, you know, two future lottery picks. Before these guys went in the portal, it's like, well, you can come in and we have so many minutes. Now, all right, you could start for this team who could make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. There's a lot to sell. And, you know, it is going to come down to some NIL. But right now, the market is saturated. You know, it's in favor of the programs because you see so many guys in the portal. Last year when Cam Spencer and Paul Mulcahy went in, you know, there was nobody really around. I won't say nobody, but it was very limited. Now it's a lot more plentiful. So a team looking for a forward is not going to put Mawat Mag high up on their list as much as they would, you know, when it's really bare, you know, as it was in the summer when Cam and Paul went in. But I think a lot of teams will reach out to Mag. I don't know how many of them are going to seriously pursue him with a lot of NIL money, though. So I think it'll be interesting to watch that situation unfold. But Rutgers now has a chance to use that, you know, money that they were going to use for Mawat and Cliff to go out and grab a few players, because I am hearing that that's going to be it for the portal, that those five guys who've entered is going to be it, that Gavin Griffiths, Jeremiah Williams, Jamichael Davis and company are going to stay put.
Yeah, and I think that is, you know, going to be something else, is that, you know, and Steve Peichel kind of alluded to this before the season even ended, you know, you can't really wait, you know, and then you have a situation where in May or even June, you know, someone says, hey, I think I'm going to enter the transfer portal, you know, later in the process. The earlier the better if you're trying to fill holes, and I think that Rutgers is in a good position in that respect. And I also think it's encouraging that the two freshmen, Gavin Griffiths and Jamichael Davis, both look to be sticking around. I think that is, you know, encouraging because, you know, those are guys that, you know, if you're Steve Peichel, you're going to want to really develop and have for the future. So, you know, I think that's definitely encouraging from Rutgers' long-term standpoint. But, you know, that leaves you with, Bobby, a guard, a forward, and a center. There's right. Your transfer portal checklist right there. I think the forward and center will be, you know, Rutgers will target a bit higher in the sense that they need guys that can start. Guard, you're probably going to see someone who's going to be in a position to play 15 minutes or so, give or take, depending on who exactly they get. Because it looks like that backcourt duo of Williams and Harper looks to be set. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, when you're looking at those guys, I think Pike will target a guy with multiple years of eligibility remaining. And if you look at a one-year guy, it might just be a guy who'll come in and be more of a defensive guy, or you know, a more one-dimensional guy who knows he's coming in for one season and is not going to you know, demand a lot of shots or minutes. You know, I wouldn't say minutes, but you know what I mean, a guy who knows he's not gonna play 30 minutes a game. If you bring in a younger guy, you can sell him on the fact that, hey, you're gonna play, and then when these guys leave after 1 year, that's your squad. So I think there's more options when looking at guards targeting players who have multiple years of eligibility remaining, because you're going to want to bring them in, wane them in, and then groom them for a starting role. At least that's a sales pitch you can give them. And you can also say, you know, you're going to play with, you know, two lottery picks. It's going to give you exposure. It's going to help you develop. I mean, there's a lot of selling points. And and it's not going to cost you a fortune in NIL if you go get one of these guys that are decent and need to be developed a little bit, as opposed to, you know, a guy who's going to want to come in and shoot 20 times a game and has his scoring prowess to his credit. So I think Pike's going to target a specific group of guards, but center just opened up, Chris, and forward too. We were going through the list and saying, I don't know if they can really target this guy. Now I think it really opens the door on who Pike can really go after and pursue and say, look, I want you here. I want you to be a part of our starting five.
Yeah, and I think that has to be the exciting thing if you're Rutgers right now, is that those possibilities sort of open up now that you know for a fact, all right, Cliff Amore not coming back, Watt Mag not coming back. And you do have, and, you know, NIL's obviously a factor, but you do also have that trump card in your pocket of, hey, you know, you could play in a front court with Ace Bailey, and you could be getting, you know, if you're a center especially, you can be getting passes in on the inside and the post from Dylan Harper, you know, mm-hmm. and Jeremiah Williams. I think that that's a compelling sell. Now, keep in mind, Rutgers isn't the only team in America that's going to expect to be good next year. But I do think that's something that you can sort of say to recruits, you know, and I think it's a better sell this year compared to maybe last year, where you didn't have mm-hmm. that kind of talent in place yet. Now I think Rutgers does, and I do think that can help sweeten the deal. You know, maybe not necessarily for the top of the top, but I think for some of those better guys that you talked about, Bobby, that, you know, a couple of days ago we would have said probably not in Rutgers' plans. Mm-hmm. You know, now I think that the calculus changes a bit, and, you know, I think that has to be intriguing if you're Rutgers.
And it's really a new era, because when you look at it, the nucleus is going to be so different. The chemistry is going to be so different. You know, Mag and Cliff were kind of part of that old regime that was kind of led by Geo Baker and Ron Harper Jr. And now you have this new era coming in. Jeremiah Williams is kind of emerging as that leader of this bunch. And then you obviously have Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper who, you know, are on a different echelon themselves. But you're going to see a whole different team dynamic, a different team chemistry, a different nucleus. I think it's exciting to see, because, you know, the runs of teams kind of take their course. You know what I mean? It was, you know, the Gio Ron era, the Cliff era, you know, Mawad helped out. It's kind of, all right, well, it's on to the next. And now it's just up to Pike to go into the portal and grab the right guys. And interestingly enough, you know, they can grab three guys and you know, Oscar Pappas could still hang around as the 13th guy for another year, Chris. He's not going, he might not go anywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, look, that might not necessarily be, you know, I don't think Oscar Pappas, if he comes back, would play a ton of minutes. Like uh-huh. He didn't really do that this year, but I do think that it's valuable in the sense that you've got someone who, you mm-hmm. know, was around for the tail end of that, you know, Baker, Harper, Cliff Amore era. Who, you know, remembers what it takes to get to an NCAA tournament. Because keep in mind, unless I'm forgetting someone, Bobby, I'm pretty sure Oscar Pappas would be the last one left over from those teams now that you have Cliff Amore and Mawad Mag gone.
Yes.
So if you're trying to get back to the NCAA tournament and potentially go further and be, you know, near the top of the Big Ten, you know, make a deeper run in March and all these things that Rutgers is going to be looking to do with the talent coming in, I think that's a valuable thing to have in the locker room. And, you know, especially with the acclimation period, I do think that there is value in that respect. You know, so I think, you know, having Oscar Pappas back, you know, I think that could actually be pretty good for Rutgers in that perspective.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, because when you looked ahead, you thought, well, he'd be done after this year, just hanging around. But, you know, three other transfers prior to Amore and Mag, you had Derek Simpson. Well, first you had Antonio Chaul, then you had Derek Simpson and Anton Wolfolk, and are right on the heels of Simpson. I don't think anyone was surprised that those Chaul wasn't a factor last year on a team that really had trouble scoring. So the writing was on the wall there. And I think when you saw Emmanuel Agboli come on and take over some minutes for Anton Wolfolk, that the writing was kind of on the wall there as well. And Derek Simpson, I mean, he just didn't want to, you know, take the reduction in playing time and that would have come had he stayed. So I don't think any of those are surprises, Chris, and I really don't think any of them will go down as any kind of losses on Rutgers' part.
Yeah, I think, you know, in each of their cases, I think you're going to see them, you know, go down a level and I think have some success at that level. I think Derek Simpson in particular, I think, you know, depending on where he lands, I think he could actually have a decent career, you know, moving down. But to your point, you know, none of those guys, I think, were really going to factor heavily in Rutgers' plans next year. So I think it made sense from their perspective and for Rutgers' perspective, because you want to, you know, go out and get, you know, more veterans, guys you think you could play a bigger role, especially at the forward spot, because, you know, Antoine Wolfolk didn't play a ton. You know, I think, you know, some people maybe expect him to develop a little bit more than he actually ended up doing. You know, Antonio Chole, just as you mentioned, didn't really play much at all. So, you know, there wasn't really a ton of contribution coming there. So, you know, I think at that forward spot, especially having those spots open, I think that opens up more possibilities. And you've got more flexibility with the roster, because having five freshmen coming in, as good as this class is, that kind of limits a little bit of the wiggle room. You know, Rutgers isn't going to have, in all likelihood, you know, six, seven spots to fill. So I do think that that flexibility is going to be helpful for Rutgers down the road.
And yeah, you mentioned going down a level, you know, there's a report on Antoine Wolfolk heard from a lot of schools right away, and, you know, all smaller schools, St. Bonnie's, Duquesne, Kent State, Eastern Michigan, Ohio, you know, Miami, Ohio, Northern Kentucky. I mean, I think that's where he's best suited to play. He just was a guy who didn't come in with any polished skill set. You know, he's a football recruit as well. And he did come around a little bit at the end of his freshman year, but you didn't really see a huge step forward in his second season. So I think he'll be better suited to play at one of those places and could probably contribute, maybe even start.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing about the transfer portal too, is, you know, fans can maybe lament when a good player who, you know, if you're a fan, you want to come back, ends up, you know, leaving. But on the flip side of that, you know, guys that maybe in the past would have been, you know, playing lesser roles at the school they committed to out of high school, you know, now they have the flexibility to go somewhere where they could have a bigger impact. And I think that that's, you know, the good thing about it is, you know, it gives players that flexibility that they didn't have before. So I think that that could be beneficial. I think that'll be beneficial for all three of those guys. You know, I do think they have parts of their game that I think could really translate well. And, you know, I'm interested in seeing where they land as well.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see. And, you know, they were actually all part of the recruiting class of 2022, Chris. Chole, Wolfolk, and Simpson. Now they're all gone. But all were kind of under the radar guys that, you know, Pike just kind of scooped up. It wasn't a stellar recruiting class. Coincidentally, the only transfer in that 2022 class was Cam Spencer, who was also gone, but kind of a wash in that recruiting class. So, and it was only 2 years ago, so it's something to keep in mind moving forward. I know Rutgers is the number three class, but, you know, to go back and look at that class and see them all gone, that was the number 99th ranked class. You fast forward to 2 years later, and they're number three in the country. It's quite a contrast, to say the least.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing that stands out. You know, I'm sure Rutgers wanted to get more out of that class, and it ultimately ended up getting. But at the same time, almost immediately after, you saw, you know, the recruiting take a step up. Even before the Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper class came together, you know, you brought in Gavin Griffiths, who before those two was the highest ranked, you know, player to sort of come in. So, you know, I think that, you know, that was a big one. And, you know, Jermichael Davis, I think, showed some promise. I think he's a guy that could develop. I think not having to be pushed into a starting role the way Derek Simpson kind of had to last year, I think that that is going to be beneficial for his development. You know, I think the recruiting has stepped up. You look at some of the guys that Rutgers has been, you know, targeting in the 2025 class, guys like Trey McKinney, like Jalen Harrell, like Nigel James. You know, still a ways to go before we, you know, see that class come together. But I think the potential is there to really continue to build that recruiting momentum. And I do think that we could look back on 2023 and 2024 as a turning point in, you know, the recruiting trajectory of this program.
Yeah, and you know, that 2022 class also had Bay Ndongo committed until Carl Hobbs left and lured him to Georgia Tech. You know, he finished this season 12.4 points, 8.2 rebounds per game, you know, and you know, you saw Georgia Tech go into, well, they didn't have the best year, but, you know, he still performed well. And you know, Rutgers could have really used him this year. So he was a big loss in that class of 2023, along with, you know, Gavin Griffiths, obviously, and Jermichael Davis, who stayed, but would have been a much better year, I think, if he would have stayed on board.
Yeah, I think that's someone who I think could have really helped Rutgers this past season. I think would have been really good to have, you know, going into this next season. You'd have another forward who could really contribute and fill kind of that Mawat Mag spot. So I think that that, you know, ultimately ended up being a loss. Not to harp too much on, you know, what happened in the past, because I do think there's a bright future for Rutgers. But, you know, I think that that's another point to bring up, too, is, you know, Steve Peichel was able to bring in Bay and Dongo, and then, you know, the last minute things sort of changed. But that's another guy who, if he had stayed at Rutgers, would have been, you know, I think a really good contributor. So that's a good point as well. Bobby, any final thoughts here before we wrap this one up and sort of take a look at what's coming up in the transfer portal?
Yeah, it should be an interesting time ahead because, you know, Rutgers has some options now. I mean, there's a lot of options. So we'll be looking into who's coming on and who could be a potential fit. And it's interesting because, you know, for me, I like trying to scout some of these guys and watch them and see how they would fit in and watch their style of play and how will it mesh. So I find that pretty interesting. And I think the coming days should be pretty intriguing with names coming out of who emerge as realistic targets for Rutgers. And I'm curious to see, you know, if they can kind of reach to some of those guys who we didn't think were possible before, you know, Mawat and Cliff went into the portal. So I just think it's going to be a very eventful and an interesting time because you're seeing a brand new roster, as I mentioned, nucleus put together. You're going to have 8 new guys on this team next year, Chris, and as long as, you know, everything stays intact. You know, you have your 5 freshmen coming in, and now you need 3 transfers.
Yeah, 3 transfers for sure. That looks to be the checklist for Rutgers as we head into this next phase of the offseason. But that'll do it for us here on the Scroll Nation podcast. For Bobby Darren, I'm Chris Akonis. As a reminder, you can get all the latest VIP scoops with the VIP membership to Scarlet Nation. You can also interact with myself, with Bobby, with Brian Doan on the football side, and with everyone over at the message board. So be sure to check those out. And keep it locked to ScarletNation.com as we've got transfer portal news for Rutgers basketball. Spring football is going to be starting up not too long from now for Rutgers football. So that'll be something to keep an eye on as well. So you want to stay with Scarlet Nation for all the latest. This has been another episode of the Scarlet Nation podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.